This is Sheila Hummel and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us on Prince Bishop's Hospital Radio.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
Today's programme is about responsible stewardship of the world we live in. So I'm going to begin our programme this morning with a beautiful song sung by the late Eva Cassidy. It's a modern version which includes the voice of Katie Melua, and it's called Wonderful World.
I see trees that are green, red roses too. I watch them bloom for me and you, and I myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue, clouds of white, bright blessed days, God. What a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of the people passing by.
Episode of ITV's popular drama series Downton Abbey, the main character, Robert Crawley, known as Lord Grantham, was challenged about the ethics of owning such a large home and estate, and he replied with all seriousness, "I'm not the owner. I'm only a custodian. Downton is my life's work." We need to remind ourselves too that we are custodians, stewards of God's world, not masters of it. Here's a hymn called The Earth is the Lord's, inspired by Psalm 24 and sung by the Maranatha Choir.
Lord.
often do we stop to reflect in awe at the beauty of our world, or take time to reflect on how very fragile it is. We haven't fared very well as custodians of it, have we? Over the ages, our planet has had to make many comebacks after warfare, ecological catastrophes, exploitation and greed. Entire species of flora and fauna have been wiped out, and our land has been polluted and our waters poisoned. And yet nature somehow has blossomed again and again. But if our carelessness and neglect of it persists, might we one day pass its tipping point, a point of no return? Here's a song called Open Our Eyes, Lord, sung by Oslo's Gospel Choir. Let's listen to our reading from Luke 12, 35 to 40. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning. Like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or towards daybreak. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. A famous song on the theme of making sure we're ready for Christ's return was written by Larry Norman in the 60s. It's called I Wish We'd All Been Ready, and it's sung here by Jordan Sparks.
Life was filled with guns and war, and all of us got trampled on the floor. I wish we'd all
That day when the king arrives, it says in our reading today, it will come like a thief in the night, at a time when we least expect it, and we mustn't be caught unawares. So let's listen to a drama for a change this morning called Bill and Ben, the Burglar Men. Let me set the scene. Walking onto the stage, we have Bill and Ben, two burglars, wearing black masks, dark trousers and striped jumpers. Bill is composing a letter, while Ben settles down to read his newspaper. But he becomes more and more concerned with Ben's letter.
What are you up to now, Bill? What are you doing?
I'm writing a letter to Mr. and Mrs. City Bottom.
That doesn't say City Bottom. That says Side Bottom.
Well, that's what they call themselves. I know them well.
Oh, just get on with it. I'm going to read my newspaper.
Okay. Dear Mr. and Mrs. City Bottom, I'm just writing to inform you that my mate Ben and I are planning to burgle your house next week. We try and make it Wednesday night, or possibly Thursday, round about 1 o'clock in the morning. If, however, your lights are on, we'll know you're still up, so we'll wait until we're absolutely certain you're safely tucked up in bed. Then you can rest assured we'll be as quiet as mice, and we'll try not to disturb you both.
What are you playing at?
Hang on, I'm nearly finished. There's no need to worry, we'll try not to make too much mess, but if at all possible, could you leave a fair bit of money lying around, put your valuables where we can easily reach them, preferably not in the room where you'll be asleep, that is, if you don't mind. That would make our job a whole lot easier.
I don't believe it.
If this is an inconvenient time for us to play a call, could you perhaps suggest an alternative date? You can contact us at the above address. Yours sincerely, Bill and...
Are you stupid or what? We're not supposed to let anyone know when we're coming. We're burglars. We do our job when people least expect it. And we certainly...
Ow!
Don't...
Ah!
Tell...
Ah!
People...
Off.
Our names and where we live.
Thank you, Andrew, for helping me with that drama. Understand this, says our reading today. If the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. The prophet Micah writes, "What does the Lord require of you?" And he answers that we must act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. Our next hymn has this to say, "Have mercy, Lord, forgive us, restore us, let justice flow like rivers, and righteousness like a never-failing stream. Revive us, we pray." It's "O Lord, the Clouds Are Gathering" by Graham Kenrick.
Clouds are gathering, the fire of judgment burns. How we have fallen, O Lord. You stand appalled to see your laws of love so scorned and life so broken. Have mercy, Lord, forgive us, Lord, restore. Revive your church again. Let justice flow like rivers, and righteousness like a never failing stream. Oh Lord, over the nations now, where is the dove of peace? The wings are broken. Children starve, the tools of war increase, their bread is stolen. Have mercy, Lord, forgive us, Lord, restore us, Lord, revive your church again. Let justice.
As a child, I saw a film about Noah, and I remember being horrified by the closing of the doors of the ark. Those who were inside were safe, while those left outside perished in the rising flood waters, and I wanted to shout out, "Let them in!" but they'd actually been given enough time. Time to repent of their evil ways, and had proven to be false and stubborn. There actually was a cut-off time. Luke gives more detail when he returns to this same theme in chapter 17, where he tells us that Christ's return will be the same as those days of Noah. He says, "Just as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all." So the king is on his way. How do we get ready? How do we watch? Let's listen to a song called Tapestry by Don McLean.
Every thread of creation is held in position by still other strands of things living. In an earthly tapestry hung from the skyline of smoldering cities, so grey and so vulgar as not to be satisfied with their own negativity, but needing to touch all the living as well. And every breeze that blows kindly is one crystal breath we exhale on the blue diamond heaven, as gentle to touch as the hands of the healer, as soft as farewells whispered over the coffin. We're poisoned by venom with each breath we take from the brown sulfur chimney and the black highway snake. And every dawn that breaks golden is held in suspension like the yolk of the egg in albumen, where the birth and the death of unseen generations are interdependent in vast orchestration and painted in colors of tapestry thread when the dying are born and the living.
There we hear that all creation is interconnected. We harm one part of it, and the rest suffers. As this song's just said, every fish that swims silent, every bird that flies freely, every doe that steps softly, every crisp leaf that falls, all the flowers that grow on this colourful tapestry, somehow they know that if man is allowed to destroy all they need, he will soon have to pay with his life for his greed. If we are guilty of mismanagement of our world as its custodians, of being wasteful, greedy, and uncaring, we shouldn't be at all surprised to be named offenders. How do we change our ways? Well, we could begin by living less selfish lives. We could give more generously, spend less lavishly and impulsively, and teach our children to be wiser stewards than we have been. And of course, it's not just our wealth we need to share. There's our skills, our gifts, our talents. They've been entrusted to us too, and don't just belong to us. They belong to God for his purposes and are to be shared with others. In our next hymn it says, "The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives." You may recognise those words. Of course, it's the hymn, "To God Be the Glory," and it comes to us from the Royal Albert Hall.
Thank you.
when an old Native American Indian chief called Chief Seattle finally agreed to hand over his land to the white authorities in 1854. His actual words, now lost, were altered through time by those wishing to put forward an important environmental message. But let's hear some quotes from them, for they still reflect the philosophy of the Native Americans and are wise words for us today. Let's listen to some of those quotes. All things are connected. Whatever befalls the earth befalls the sons of the earth. Man does not weave the web of life. He is merely a strand of it. Whatever he does to the web, he does to himself. What is man without the beasts? If all the beasts were gone, man would die from a great loneliness of the spirit. For whatever happens to the beasts soon happens to man. All things are connected. And then there's this one. Continue to contaminate your bed, and you will one night suffocate in your own waste. And finally this quote. When the buffalo are all slaughtered, the wild horses all tamed, the secret corners of the forest heavy with the scent of many men, and the view of the ripe hills blotted by talking wires. Where is the thicket? Gone. Where is the eagle? Gone. And what is to say goodbye to the swift and the hunt? The end of living and the beginning of survival. Let us pray that God will bring about real change in our lives, that we as one world may become custodians who preserve life rather than destroy it. And let's ask God's forgiveness, that he may bring peace to our souls in all our future decision making. Here's a poem prayer by a friend of mine called Carol Dixon. God, we are waiting, waiting for your coming into our lives. God, we are expecting, hoping to see you at work in the world. Give us patience to keep on waiting, hoping and working for the coming of your kingdom through Jesus our Lord, born as a baby in Bethlehem, living, dying and rising, reigning with you and the Holy Spirit, bringing us life and love and peace, this day and every day, to the end of time. When Jesus returns to earth, not only will he come as King in great glory and majesty, he will also come as our judge. Our final song, O Praise the Name, sings of his return in robes of white with the blazing sun piercing the night. When he comes, will he find us ready to receive him? This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick wishing a speedy recovery to all hospital patients listening in this morning. Do have a good week, everyone. Andrew, say bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye for now.
Among the saints, my gaze straight.